Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read responsively Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared.
I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your words is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning. More than those who keep watch for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
A reading from Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus said to them, told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take the stone away." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I have this reflexive moment when I start thinking I need to tell you to be seated. I'm fairly confident most of you already are. It was about 2.5 decades ago when my brother joined me at an open 12-step meeting. And as we drove out of the parking lot afterwards, I commented that it was a good meeting. He turned to me inquisitively and asked, "How do you determine if it was a good meeting?" Good question. The true answer is that I heard what I needed to hear. At that time, some of the old timers were apt to say that the fact that they heard exactly what they needed to hear wasn't so much about some high spiritual clarity or anything like that. Rather, they heard what they needed to hear because they needed to hear so many things that any meeting that focused on recovery spoke something that they needed. Now, I know that that's a bit convoluted, but in these days, I find myself wrestling with that sentiment, and I find it to be pretty true for worship and scripture. The needs of the faithful to hear God's promises, to be faithful, to be loving, to be forgiving, steadfast, gracious, are so great in times like these that pretty much any scripture can speak directly to each one. Indeed, the promise of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life, which are the core benefits of the sacraments, are daily reminder needs. And when fear, when anxiety, when everything has gone sideways, when there is so much to worry about, those promises are even more needed. So 2 weeks ago, when we started changing the liturgy from Holy Communion to the service of the Word, I found myself encountering old friends, old promises for God's presence. You see, over the past 42 years, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and its predecessor church bodies, well, it started working to return Holy Communion to centrality in weekly worship. As the church has been successful in this, these other liturgies have fallen into greater disuse. Morning prayer, evening prayer, prayer at the end of the day, and even the service of the Word are still there in the book. They're available to serve. As I read the prayers, the responses, the structure of the liturgy, I found comfort in a new way. In a similar way, I hear the words of the prophecy in Ezekiel differently today than I did 3 or even 6 years ago. Sure, we always need to hear that God has the power and authority to restore life to whole nations that are struggling with hope. Ezekiel's ministry straddled the fall of Jerusalem. At the time of this vision of the valley of dry bones, the Babylonian captivity had been in such a persistent experience that the people were convinced that they were done for. There was no possibility of new life. Ezekiel's vision is antidote to such fatalism. It is a reminder that God can accomplish what God chooses. The Lord says, I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. The Lord will put God's spirit within you. God is with you. Hold on to that promise that in the face of fatalism and all that feels so hopeless, what is true in Ezekiel is true in our hearing of Jesus' encounter with Lazarus and his sisters. For today, I will not walk through every little nuance of the story. Let me highlight some salient points for this time. Both Mary and Martha have a deep and abiding relationship, a trust in Jesus. More so, that relationship allows them to confront and challenge Jesus. They can speak their truth to him. They can plead their case with him. They know Jesus to be one who walks with them in their good times and in their most difficult times. So too, for faithful people of every time, the people of God are called to build such a relationship with God through scripture reading, through prayer, through Christian fellowship and community, through service, that each one, and more so the community together, grows into deep and abiding relationship of trust with Jesus. The faithful can bring their great needs and confront Jesus with their truth. And they know that Jesus walks with them. Indeed, just as Jesus accomplished God's work in healing the man born blind, today, the church hears about Jesus restoring life in a man who has been dead 4 days. For those keeping track, being dead for 4 days is pretty hopeless. In that culture, there was an understanding that this the soul kind of stuck around for a while, say 3 days, just to see if something happened. But by 4 days, well, decomposition starts. By 4 days, they understood that the soul had departed. 4 days, there was no hope. It's pretty clear why the lectionary writers pair Ezekiel with this event in Jesus' ministry. Now, Jesus does a new sign of his divinity, restoring life to a hopelessly dead. Lazarus, come out. And indeed, Lazarus comes out of the tomb. But that is not enough. Jesus reminds all who are gathered around. Jesus reminds the people of that time. Jesus reminds all of us in this time and place that unbinding those who are bound by their fear, by their anxiety, their sense of loss, their grief, their dis-ease, is not just God's job. Rather, unbinding the bound ones is the world, the work of the community, this community. A friend of mine recounted a lecture he attended. It was a webinar this past week. The presenter was Steve Taylor, based on his book entitled The Psychology of Pandemics. The preparing for the next global outbreak of infectious disease. His book, published in January of 2019, posits that there are three primary effects of pandemic. There is the disease, which touches most lives, but not all lives in the same way. There is the economic upheaval, which again touches pretty much all lives, but not all people to the same extent. Now, as I understood my friend, Dr. Taylor suggests that pandemic also has a psychological disruption that can be nearly universal. Without reading more, without time to study up more, Dr. Taylor's proposal makes sense. And to this, Jesus gives us direction. Unbind him and let him go. In the days and weeks ahead, let us work together to be the body of Christ for one another and for the world. Let us seek to unbind those who are bound by disease, by economic threat, and by psychological pressures. Let us remember that God walks with us in precisely these times. Our hope is in the movement of the Spirit that God has put within each one of us. Let us resolve to be people of hope.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's SaintAndrewsLutheran.org. Have a glorious week.